BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
It's 4 o'clock. My name's Alice. I'm 17 and I'm from Colchester. You might not know this, but I was once mauled by a tiger. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio. Scott Mills!
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Alice, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
No, it's just you said when you introduced the show that you'd been mauled by a tiger.
Yeah, it was when I was on holiday in Africa and they had this wildlife park you could go into.
When was this?
It was a few years ago now.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I went in with my uncle and went around and, like, you could stroke them and everything. And at the end, went to go
out. You could stroke the tigers?
Yeah, they were, like, they were tamed in a way.
Sure. Obviously and, not.
Yeah. And as I went to turn to go out, I couldn't pull my arm. And I looked down and there was a tiger biting my arm.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Becky would hate this. This is lack of health and safety.
Yeah, so now I've got a bite scar on it.
How big was the tiger?
It was like the size of a small bear cub.
So you look down and there's like a tiger hanging off your arm?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And what was going through your head at that point?
I just sort of stared at it and was like, there's a tiger. So I tried to pull my arm, but it wouldn't let me. So my uncle had to lift open its mouth and get my arm out and quickly run out.
What a hero.
Back.
To be fair, though, it wasn't the biggest tiger, was it? So your intro was slightly misleading.
It was still a tiger, though. It was big enough.
Are you quite proud of the scar?
Yeah, but no one really believed me, so I had to nearly get my mum to write me a note to take in school to make people believe me.
So you do still have a little bite mark on your arm?
Yeah, it's only one tooth left a scar, so which is good.
Do you say to people, see that? Tiger, that was.
Well, sometimes, most of the time, they don't believe me. So it's a good conversation starter, though.
I believe you, and now you've been on Radio 1, so it has to be believed.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much for introducing the show today.
Thank you for having me.
And I believe you.
Thank you.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Poor Alice. Just had a thought, Becky, actually, after she just said this.
You might not know this, but I was once mauled by a tiger.
Our listeners seem to have a lot of bad luck with tigers.
She's still going.
Listen to Liam from a couple of weeks back.
Hi, it's 4 o'clock. I'm Liam, I'm 20, and I'm from Dartford.
Same.
You might not know this, but a tiger once urinated on my face.
What is it about tigers and our listeners?
That's more than a coincidence. I'm starting to feel left out now that I haven't had an interaction with a tiger.
I know.
You know that scar I got on my hand from where I got the glass cut a few weeks back?
Yeah.
I could say that was a baby tiger.
Let me see it.
It's got, like, quite a bite mark now because of the stitches.
Well, Alice's is only one tooth, so show me again. Yeah, blatantly.
Yeah?
Yeah, easily. So when people go, oh, what's that?
Yeah, I said it got me on my knuckle.
Tiger.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So I was on telly on Saturday night on BBC One with Ollie Murs dancing, trying to dance, on Let's Dance for Sport Relief. And I can't watch it back. I haven't seen it. I can't do it. I don't think I'll ever be able to watch it. But thank you for all the kind comments that I was getting on Twitter. Team Scully was trending at one point.
Did you invent that or did he?
It was kind of made up when we spoke to Vernon on the phone on Saturday morning. And loads of Ollie's fans just decided that was what we were called. And then Ollie and Scott was trending worldwide for a while. Thanks for coming along to the show, by the way, Becky.
Thanks for inviting me. It was a lovely day out.
It's your first live TV appearance there.
It was. And I saw a double rainbow on the way there, so I was really excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good night.
Yeah. You would have thought that might have brought me some luck. Oh, is that a spoiler? Sorry if you haven't watched it yet, because I know loads of people would have recorded it to watch it later. But we didn't win. But it's fine. It's all for Sport Relief, so it raised loads and loads of money. So thank you if you voted. Thanks so much. It was good fun. Why were you holding a parrot during my performance? I did notice that out the corner of my eye.
I have absolutely no idea. You know on TV, those people that run around with the headsets and the clipboard?
Yeah.
Just before you came on, one of them came up to me and was like, hold this. I was like, what, it's deflated. It's a deflated inflatable parrot. What should I do with it? And he was like, just wave it about in the air.
Maybe it's like a mascot or something.
Well, I wasn't sure why I had one, and then Greg had a big banana.
Also, why did you have a badge on that said Scott's mum?
Because I thought it would be funny.
Because Alex Jones was like, no, let's speak to Becky from the show. Obviously, it's not Scott's mum.
Well,
but I couldn't actually see anything because I was behind those big doors that open.
Yeah.
Those doors are really scary, by the way. I nearly got trapped inside in rehearsal. Like, they look like, you know how sometimes doors just go boom, they close and open really quick, or they can do, they have the ability to do.
Oh, you might have got the sympathy vote if you'd had to come on, like,
I'm wedged between the doors.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Just my head poking out. anyway, so why were you wearing the badge?
Because they had one printed up for your mum, who was too shy to come on TV, bless her, so I was like, well, I'll wear it.
My mum was in the audience, but she didn't want to be on that bit on the tables, because it's right next to the stage, and my mum is not one for being on television.
Do you know what? I didn't think my bum... Those stalls were tiny.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was quite uncomfortable, but I thought I'd
wear it.
Well,
so you nicked the badge off my mum?
Yeah. Just to show that she, you know, she was there, and they were like, you can't wear that, it'll confuse Alex. I was like, will it really, though?
Yeah.
And I was told to take it off about seven times.
What, did they think, in the pressure of live TV, that Alex Jones might have thought that, that you were my mum?
I was like, really, this isn't going to happen. But that badge, I gave it back to your mum as a souvenir, and then the production guy came over and he was like, Becky, that badge, have you got it? And I was like, oh, I gave it to Scott's mum. He went... I'm going to have to take it back, I'm afraid. We're going to need it for next week. I was like, oh, Scott and his mum coming back again? He went, no, we just go over the letters with for the next guest.
Oh.
I was like, are you serious? This badge is worth about 30p.
I was going to say.
And your mum would have loved that as a souvenir.
Oh, she would have put it up on the wall.
He took it out of her handbag.
No.
Yes, he did.
Well, maybe they do need it. Maybe there's a lack of badges. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my mum got the bag whipped out of her handbag. The badge. I'm not sure if I can hear this again, because when the music came on and I heard Steve Jones go, here they are, I can't tell you how nervous I was. Like, the most nervous I've ever been. Even more nervous than going on stage and doing that one-man show in Edinburgh, which
really?
We did a couple of years ago. I didn't think it was possible to feel more nervous, but it actually was.
Last year, a radio DJ and a pop star bonded over a trek across the baking heat of the African desert for 8 days and nights in temperatures up to 40 degrees. This year, for Sport Relief... they've got it really tough.
Oh, can you imagine? What are we going to do now? Do we have to hear it again?
The whole performance.
Not all of it.
No. For Sport Relief, dancing to party rock anthem by LMFAO, it's Scott Mills and Ollie Moore!
Oh, God! Now, if you watch it back on the iPlayer, as soon as the music come on, there's two blokes that kind of... somersault in.
I thought that was you and Ollie.
Well, that would have been impressive. The one that didn't speak didn't watch it until like yesterday afternoon and actually did think that was me doing the somersault in for a while. It wasn't.
I thought that was your big entrance.
They were our proper dancers. There was a lot going on in our performance, has to be said. You hardly saw us, which I was quite pleased about.
Was that a deliberate distraction technique?
What? I don't know. They put a lot into it. I thought it was a brilliant, way to start the show. And it was really, really good fun. I really enjoyed it. Annoying. I rehearsed for, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Mm.
Ollie turned up in 20 minutes. He'd got it nailed. Mm. But then I guess that's what he does. But it's slightly annoying if you're me. I think there was one contestant taking it a little bit too seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this backstage gossip?
Well... because we got a chance to have another rehearsal, you see, because the Hoff didn't turn up till a bit later on. Bless him, though. The first time we did the rehearsal, he tap-danced his way on. It was like, no, the song is really fast. You need to...
What was he like, shuffle change at the speed of light?
He was tapping. And it's like, I had to... You know how, like, sometimes I'm his dad? I had to take him aside and go... Right, the song's really fast. You've only got eight. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, but he was taking like forever. Then he couldn't get the box off his head. So I was like, well, there's no point in you being here, is there? Because you just look like a bloke in a gold tracksuit. They don't know it's you. The idea is that you reveal by taking the box off your head that you're the Hoff. If the song finishes and you've still got the box on your head.
Just like desperately trying to escape from it.
Looking like you're trying to, undo it. That's not... Once the performance is over, it's over. Once it's gone, every day I'm shuffling, the crowd hopefully go wild, and that's it. And you're still struggling to get the box off your head. There's absolutely no point. Here's my reaction to my performance.
Well, that was a crowd pleaser. Are you pleased with it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Bless you. Who was it that wasn't taking it?
There was someone that was taking it more seriously than the others.
Was it Tracy Beaker?
No.
Kirsten O'Brien?
No. She thought it was a fix that we were going to win because we got an extra rehearsal. Because obviously the Hof hadn't rehearsed it before.
How can it be a fix? It's for charity.
Well, I know. But they thought that we were getting too much rehearsal time. But the thing, the Hof turned up later. He didn't turn up till like 5 o'clock. So we had to go through it with him at least once so he knew what he was doing.
Was it Annabelle Thingy?
Anyway, so we didn't win. And I had a great time. And even though, like, we didn't get through, as one contestant did say to me at the end, "You see, darling, tweets don't make votes."
Was that Annabelle Thingy?
I don't want to say. I had a great time, and thank you very much.
The backstage.
Thank you very much if you did vote for us.
I was disappointed. You know what I'm going to have to say, though? I was disappointed that Minchin didn't put you through.
Tim Minchin?
Yeah.
Here's I really thought what he said.
Tim Minchin, what are you thinking, sir?
I'm just really impressed, Ollie, that you had the guts to come on and dance with Scott. There's no way you're ever going to keep up with him, but I mean, but you did your best and you looked all right. And then to bring Knight Rider on wearing a piece of kit on his head, it was a spectacular thing. And the clothes make me want to take them off you and put them on myself. You know? So congratulations. I can't imagine anything ever being better than that.
There we are. That was all right. That was quite nice.
That was sweet. But I thought he'd vote for you at the end.
Yeah, so did I. But then Ollie was pointing towards the other bloke.
I know, did he? Has he got other plans for the 17th?
Well, here's the thing. I think
he didn't want to be in the final, did he? If you're honest. Right. Has he got a gig?
I feel like this is one of those times when I've said far too much already.
No, keep going. Right, these are my favourite times.
Right, I've said enough, so I might as well keep going. Ollie was like, "Oh, I really hope we win." I was like, "Yeah, I really want to win as well." Because, you know, you want to win, don't you? He's like, "Thing is, I'm in Vegas."
He was doing something else. I knew it. Because when you were getting to the end bit, he just kept going, "Vote for Omid, vote for Omid."
No, I think that was just Ollie being charitable because he's really nice.
Yeah, but that was to the extreme. He was doing like a double point and like jumping up and down going, "Not us, not us."
But it would have interrupted his trip to Vegas. Well, I've got to come back for the final. Who would I have done it with? I can't teach the Hof that. The final's on the 17th. He had a job to get the box off his head. Oh, I love the Hof. It was so good to see him again. Here we were in the pub, which is just next to the stage. Shenanigans.
What are you doing in town?
Well, I just came off a concert at the O2 Arena last night.
Well, I was there. It wasn't the big O2. It was the club bit next door, but still technically the O2. And then...
We were promoting my new album called This Time Around. This time around, I'm going to make it. This time around, I'll make it last. Anyway, this is the kind of music I've always wanted to do, mostly from the West End and Broadway, but a couple of hit songs like You Lost That Loving Feeling.
Nice plug. Fair play to him. He is always plugging away. That's why he's still in the game.
Even at a charity thing, he's still out for himself.
Fair play. Even held the CD up to the screen.
He did, yeah.
Do we really have to hear the song again?
Yes. And I want a live version.
No. Can we make this the last time I ever play this? That's not going to happen, is it?
The Scott Mills Daily.
So here's the question. Will Chris, my friend, lie for Becky? We know, you know, he's been really honest in the past. The idea is this. So we call Chris and we say that you, Becky, have applied for a job and put him down as a reference. And the job is at BBC South Weather. I can actually imagine you being a weather girl.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks to everyone on the text. He's been texting in where I can get my power suits.
Yeah, people seem to know.
A lot of people have seen weather presenters with shopping bags, so they're just telling me what names of bags they were carrying.
Nice. Now, some of the things that you said in the interview may have been blatant lies.
Right.
Obviously, this interview never happened.
No, I was going to say, I haven't said anything. This isn't a real interview, is it?
No. But would Chris lie for you and go along with the complete rubbish that you supposedly told them in the interview at BBC South Weather? So would he say, "No, that's not true," when faced with the lies that you told? Or would he just go along with it and say, yeah, that happened? Because he is a very honest boy, generally. What do you reckon?
I actually think he would lie for me.
You think he would?
Yeah.
So even though you've made up absolute rubbish, he will just go along with it?
Yeah, I think he would, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's find out. Here is our friend, actual name, Will, pretending to be from BBC South Weather.
Hello?
Hello, is this Mr. Stark?
It is, yeah. You speaking?
Yes, hello. My name's Martin Pellow. I'm from BBC South Weather. Have you got a couple of minutes to help me out?
Yeah, go on then.
Just sorry to bother you. Rebecca Huxtable has put you down as one of her referees on her job application. I presume you're aware.
Rebecca Huxtable. That's Will's posh voice. And that's how you say your voice in posh.
It sounds like he's never said my name before.
Rebecca Huxtable. We continue.
She came in for an interview today. She's done very, very well. I just need to check up on a couple of facts, actually.
Yeah, go on then.
OK, just a few questions then. How long have you known Rebecca?
I've known her for about, I don't know, actually, probably about 3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years, OK. And would you say she's a trustworthy person?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
You only guess so? I would probably prefer something a little bit more positive there.
She's very trustworthy, yeah. She's one of the most trustworthy people I know.
Right, so that went from, kind of, to, yeah, she's one of the most trustworthy people I know.
That pause was not good.
No.
Really not good.
No, really wasn't, was it?
I wonder what he was going to say then.
I know.
But that pause for the interviewer would have been like, well, he's lying now,
yeah.
Isn't he?
This is a little bit uncomfortable for me to play this.
It's uncomfortable for me. This is like what he really thinks of me.
Let's go on.
She has a very keen interest in the weather, of course.
Yes.
How long has she loved the weather?
She's always going on about the weather. She's she often calls me just to talk about the weather, actually. I know it's been a big passion of hers for a long time.
Yes. See, he's doing it already. He's covering you up. Because you supposedly told them that you love the weather. You love the weather.
I do, but I don't ring him to tell him about it all the time. That would be boring as.
Did you know she was applying for the job?
No, I didn't, actually. No, she hasn't mentioned it, but she's quite humble like that. She doesn't really like to shout about stuff like that, you know?
Okay.
When did she apply for this?
Well, she came in for the interview this morning. We've had a very, very good session with her. We did the auditions, but there are quite a few things on her application form that came up through the interview that I do need to check with you as her referee.
And she put me as a reference?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Yes, that would never happen.
It wouldn't, would it? Anyway, so far he's doing good, really, isn't he? Let's keep it up. But as it gets more ridiculous, can he continue with it?
Can I take you through a couple of things that came up in the interview?
Go on.
She's been raising money for Sport Relief, is that right?
Yes, she has, yeah.
She was very tired. I mean, it must have taken it out of her. I mean, it's not every day that someone single-handedly rows the Atlantic, is it?
No, it's not, no.
No, and of course she raised £1 million, which is fantastic news.
I know, she's good, I sponsored her.
Very, very good. You must be very proud of her, I guess.
Very proud, yeah. She's done well there, didn't she?
Still doing it, but you can tell by the slight...
I know.
But, to be fair, you're still carrying on. And you rode the Atlantic and raised £1 million for Sport Relief.
Check so, my guns.
Word on you.
Why did she want to do that for Sport Relief?
I think it was... I just think she wants to help the kids in Africa and, I don't know, really. She's just very passionate about charity, you know, almost as passionate as she is about the weather. In fact, the two main things she loves more than anything is charity and weather.
I love it when he's put on the spot. It's just so uncomfortable. I don't know, really.
According to her, though, she's very keen on sport, of course, because I don't think we've ever had an Olympic gold medalist working at the weather station.
No, I think she's definitely the only one at Radio 1 with Olympic gold?
That's right, yes. Now, what we didn't get down to was what event she won. What is it she does?
I think it was the shot put.
How does that make you feel?
Offended.
Does it?
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with shot putters, but I could have been like a really lush gymnast or like a swimmer.
Yeah. It's so strange that shot put was the first one he went for.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Everyone knows I'm good at tug of war.
You are good at tug of war. That's probably what he's thinking.
Well, I got on that, though. When Will said she's keen at sport, you can actually hear him laugh before he's even mentioned the Olympic gold.
I know. And onwards.
Now, moving on, what about the modelling?
The what, sorry?
Her modelling career.
Oh, yeah.
Even I'm laughing at that. That's ridiculous.
Listen to his reaction.
Now, moving on, what about the modelling?
The what, sorry?
Her modelling career.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Her modelling career.
Oh, yeah.
He's not convinced.
Do you think she'll miss that?
Oh. What kind of... I know she's done a lot of modelling. What was it? The... What modelling? Lingerie?
Yes, absolutely. No, the problem we have is we couldn't have a Victoria's Secret's lingerie model as well as a weather girl. It's not very BBC. That's our problem.
Oh. No, I agree. No, but as I said, she's very talented, you know, when she's obviously not doing the charity work and she's not being passionate about the weather, she obviously gets her kit off and models lingerie.
Wow. He's still going along with it. There wasn't about 10 seconds of laughing, but he is going along with it.
What we wanted was someone who's got an established fan base, but we don't want to lose her after a short period of time. Do you think she'll still want to keep in touch with the other members of the Saturdays?
Yeah. She does that as well, does she?
Do you know why she had to leave the group in the end?
Oh, it was a pregnancy, wasn't it?
Becky's pregnant?
No, she's not. She's definitely not. She's she had to leave because of differences. I think that's what... differences, band differences or something. I think she fell out with one of them.
Which one did she fall out with?
Frankie, that's it.
There in the end. It's difficult, though. When you're put on the spot, you can't name all of the Saturdays just off the top of your head, can you?
But the first Olympic sport that comes into your head that I would do is shot put, and it's there instantly.
Yeah, well, that is. But, like, try and name them all. Like, you can...
Yeah, you'd like Una, Vanessa, Michelle.
I know, because you're thinking of that song. Yeah. But under pressure, obviously.
Becky, what are you doing Saturday, girl?
Yeah. Under pressure, it's hard. I've tried it before. It's impossible.
We were thinking to increase the profile, we could get them all back together for a Christmas special or something.
What, the Saturdays?
Yes, with Becky as the founder.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'll tell you what, I'd watch that. That'd be good.
Okay, here we go.
I mean, I must say, she's a remarkable young girl. To have achieved all that she's achieved, and she's only 22, I mean, I think that's absolutely remarkable, don't you?
When did she apply for this? This can't be real.
We've had applications in for the last 2 or 3 weeks. As I say, we met this morning. She did a fantastic audition. And we had the interview.
And who are you?
My name's Martin Pellow. I'm from BBC South Weather. I work in the Human Resources Department.
Who?
Martin Pellow.
Okay. I'm just going to Google you, but...
Well, I'm not one of the... I don't do the map thing. I'm Human Resources. I wouldn't be on Google.
Oh, right. All right, well,
Before I go, anything, obviously, it would be nice if you want to give us a statement, give us your impression of Becky, just free form, let me know, so I've got something to write down on the form here.
Becky is a brilliant worker. She's achieved so much in her life already, and she's great with health and safety, which I know is important at the BBC.
So. Very important.
Mate, I've got to go, but... yeah, definitely give her the job. She's good.
Mr. Stark, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Cool. All right,
mate. Bye-bye.
Cheers, then. Bye.
First thing he mentions is your love of health and safety.
Why does he always bring that up?
I don't know. He knows it's a big thing in your life, along, obviously, with the weather.
And my modelling.
And the modelling.
And my Olympics.
And you being the founder member of the Saturdays. Fair play, though. He went along with it. There was a lot of laughing. But I can't believe it took him that long to realise... Is this real? Also, has Chris ever had an actual job interview? or been spoken to anyone in authority, because you called him mate all the way through. Listen, mate, I've got to go. That is potentially your employer. Mm. Mate.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Now, this is something my flatmate flagged up to me and said that I might want to do on the show. So it's time for my show and tell. I show you something and then tell you about it. Like back in the school days. So you know when you go to a job interview and they ask you quite difficult questions, don't they?
Mm.
But normally they're kind of like, so where do you see yourself in 5 years' time from now? What else do they ask?
Give an example where you've worked as part of a team. Or like they tend to ask questions where they kind of find out lots more about you in different situations.
Right, okay. So
what do you think your weaknesses are?
Yeah, that's a...
Because then you have
on.
To turn that round and, like, think about how your weaknesses can be a strength and all that sort of...
Blah.
I'm rubbish in interviews.
Now, please be aware that if you have got a job interview tomorrow, this next bit might scare you a little bit. But on the other side of it, surely nothing can be as bad as these ones that I'm about to give to you. Do you ever think that the people in the interview, the people doing the interviews, are having a bit of a laugh?
Yes.
Really?
I think they're sitting there all smug, like, how can we catch you out?
Yeah, asking awful questions just to keep themselves amused.
Yeah.
Because, like, if they've got, like, 30-odd people to interview, it must get quite boring, so just whack that one in for a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, Blake's not writing notes either, they're just doodling or writing the dinner list.
Yeah. Put in a few weird questions just to spice it up a bit. Now, let me tell you, these are all real questions, I promise, that have been asked in job interviews in the past, OK? These are 100% real. So imagine, Becky, that I am the boss of you, right?
That doesn't take much.
Come on in.
What? No, you are.
Come on in. Right. No, I wouldn't say that, would I? What would I say?
No, hello, Miss Huxtable, nice to meet you.
Becky, come in.
At which point I'd be like, I'm OK, thanks.
Anyway, so sit down, make yourself comfortable, Miss Huxtable.
Yep.
And thank you very much for applying for this job. And here's the question, the first question that you get asked. How do you react to this, all right? Listen.
How many people are using Facebook in San Francisco at 2:30 p.m. on a Friday?
How would you answer that? That was asked at Google in a job interview.
No idea.
How many people are using Facebook in San Francisco at 2:30 p.m. on a Friday?
Yeah, but you've got to answer it. What would you say?
None, because they all get to go home at lunchtime.
Right. Okay.
No, I don't know. I told you I was rubbish. I was trying to think... Because the problem is now, I think it's like a trick question.
Well, the
thing
is...
So now I'm trying to think of, like, the right trick answer.
These aren't... I mean, these are questions without... any answers. You're Googling this now.
Yeah.
How ironic, on Google. But my flatmate reckons that they're not actually having a laugh. They want to know your thought process on how to get round it. And
are you meant to just say I'd Google it?
No. What, if you're in an interview with Google? What does it say?
Well, no, it's just telling me that this was the question asked in Google.
See?
Job interview.
Not answerable. Okay. Next one, are you ready?
Yeah.
Weird interview question number two.
Just entertain me for 5 minutes. I'm not going to talk.
What do you do?
Go. That's really hard.
So they remain silent.
Just entertain me for 5 minutes. I'm not going to talk.
Why did the baker have smelly fingers? Because he needed a poo. You can laugh. You're not allowed to talk, but you can laugh. 5 minutes is a really long time when it's just you doing the entertaining, isn't it? I might whistle for a bit to fill some time. What else? What else could I do? I could make something out of paper. I could do an origami something or other. But then I don't know that this is going to happen, do I? Do you know what I would do for 5 minutes? I'd probably sit there going, all right, I could do this, but then I could do that, and then I didn't bring this, so I can't use that as a prop. I think I'd probably leave by now.
All you did then was tell me what you might do
in
the 5 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I think I'd end up doing.
I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably like sing or something.
Would you though?
Or maybe I could do my dance from Saturday Night.
You could. That would fill 2.5 minutes. What would you do for the rest?
Don't know.
Lie down on the floor out of breath.
Yeah. They're not talking. They're fine. Okay. Next one. Real question that's been asked in a job interview.
If Germans were the tallest people in the world, how would you prove it?
That was asked at Hewlett-Packard.
Surely it would have already been proven for them to be able to tell you that.
Answer the question.
Go round with my tape measure, measuring all Germans.
Good answer. Slightly impractical, probably, but that was your answer. At least you answered it, and they're not very answerable questions, are they?
Have we got a list of the actual answers for these? Because it's going to frustrate me all
there
aren't, night.
There are no answers. They just want to know your thought process. They want to know how you react to the question. That's how they get it.
But what on earth can they be... Can someone at least tell us what they're aiming to get from this?
Well, maybe. If someone's been asked any of these questions, then you could let me know what you said, because I have no idea what I would say.
Because sometimes you do get really weird questions, but they've got specific answers.
Here's your next one.
What do you think of garden gnomes?
They're all right. I don't like it when they've got their heads blown off. I had a strange incident once with a guy at work who used to get them nicked from outside his house.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Or did they keep appearing? I can't remember.
No, they kept appearing and there became more and more and more of them. But they are. That's a story for you.
Yeah.
Do you remember that a couple of years ago when loads of garden gnomes arrived outside my house and they kept... there was a whole family of them and it just grew bigger and bigger and bigger until I couldn't actually get into the house. That's your answer there. That's an easy one for you. Next.
Would Mahatma Gandhi have made a good software engineer?
Do you think?
I don't know.
Someone says Becky is rubbish at interviews. Oh, come on, then. Yeah. How would you answer these?
You don't need to text in to tell me that.
Do you think he'd make a good software engineer? Yes or no?
I don't know. Has he got his MCSE?
I have no idea.
I don't know. No, I'm going to say yes. Yes. Yes, okay. He would.
But
he'd
why?
Brilliant.
But why, though?
Because he's good at solving problems.
Okay, next.
How would you cure world hunger?
More food.
Okay. Next.
Well, that's a good answer.
Yeah, it is.
Does life fascinate you?
Yes.
I need more than that.
Yes, it does.
But, but you can't just say yes and no.
Yes, it does. And you?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah?
Yes, it does. Thanks. Next.
Name 5 uses of a stapler without staple pins.
Oh, this is rubbish, this one. I would... I don't know. Stick it on my head. Stick it down my... Stick it up my top. I don't know.
Stick it down your where?
I was going to say stick it down my pants and then I thought better of it.
Well, you don't want to
do
that.
I'm in a job interview situation.
Yes, you are. Stick it down my pants.
It's got no staples in it, though.
Mind you.
I'm fine.
If you...
So you're looking at me then as if it's dangerous. It's not. You've taken all the staples out.
That's true. And if you did do that, that might, distract them away from the answer.
How would you get an elephant into a refrigerator?
Bigger fridge.
Yes. That's true, actually. You want, one of them big ones with, the ice thing on the front?
Yeah.
Because they're normally massive, aren't they? Someone just texted in about the elephant in the fridge one.
Yeah, what's the answer?
Sarah from Exeter says, how do you fit an elephant in a fridge? That's before it even went on air here. Apparently, getting a big fridge gets the job. There we are, you got the job, congratulations.
I don't think I want to work for this company.
Next.
You have a bouquet of flowers. All but two are roses. All but two are daisies. And all but two are tulips. How many flowers do you have?
Well, you could have 3, you could have 6, you could have 9. No?
I have no idea. I'm just asking you.
Well, you've got to have... if it's roses, tulips and daisies, if at least 2 are the other ones, it's a minimum of 3. So you've got 3 or 6.
So you answered...
No?
I don't know. You answered confidently there.
Well, I don't know. Apparently you've got 9.
Right, someone's saying 9.
But there's no proof that there's 9. It could be 3.
Okay, next.
How many different ways can you get water from a lake at the foot of a mountain up to the top of a mountain?
Oh,
they ask that at Disney.
Do they?
Yeah.
Aeroplanes, little monkeys, bikes with big baskets on the front.
Little monkeys.
Carrier bags without a hole in.
No, you'd have to get a bag for life for that, though, wouldn't you? You couldn't just, like, get the normal one. You have to spend. And finally...
Are you exhaling warm air?
Yes.
Congratulations, you've got the job. If anyone knows what the answers are to those questions or have been asked them before, then let me know. People like... These can't be real. No, I promise you, they are 100% real questions in job interviews. And that is my Monday night show and tell. Thanks.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, we've got a couple of answers to these, apparently. Someone was told on their interview about the elephant one. This is Amy Lou, who's been on Twitter. How would you get an elephant into a refrigerator? Open the door.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a joke, though.
Although a lot of people are saying you take the giraffe out first, but I didn't know he was in there.
Well, this has become a bit boom-tsh, hasn't it, really? What else have you got?
The answer to the flower one is three.
Why?
Because all but two are the one that you're saying.
Okay.
I've forgotten the exact question. It's like, but you've got some flowers, all but two are roses.
All but two are daisies and all but two are tulips.
Yeah,
how many flowers do you have?
You have three.
Three. Mm. Got any more?
Well, someone said that they had the water question when they were at Disney, Joe from Blackpool.
So this is, how many different ways can you get water from a lake at the foot of a mountain up to the top of a mountain?
Yeah, and he's saying the answer is to drink it and weigh it out the top.
That's ridiculous.
I prefer the little monkeys with the bags for life.
Me too, yeah, absolutely. Every time.
BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.